Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dollimore.
Welcome to the show, episode 932 of I Doubt It Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Dollimore, joined today by the lovely, talented, and scholarly Brittany Page, everyone.
I was just sitting here thinking about how we were feeling right after the election. And
it's funny because I was just thinking about the stages of grief.
Were you?
No shit, seriously.
Related to the election? And how, yeah,
finish your thing and then we can talk about my interjection.
Well, no, you already interrupted, so what's done is done.
We're starting like this, huh? This is it.
We're starting like this, yeah, with an interruption. Yeah, we're starting like that.
Go ahead, weirdo. No,
stages of grief related
to... No, I refuse to talk about it until you say your thing.
You didn't refuse earlier. So I... Because I'm feeling better... I wouldn't say a lot better, but I'm saying that I feel better, and I think it's still difficult some days. Some days are still very much rage-inducing, but I feel less hopeless, and I was in a very hopeless place, and so it's nice to not be in a hopeless place anymore, and I think I'm starting to get the sense from listeners, too, based on the communication that we have been receiving, that I think that's the general mood with other people too, right? Yeah. We all needed to kind of take a break for a little bit. And some people are probably still taking a break. That's totally fine. But many people are back to sending us stories and saying, what do you think about this? They're following the news. They're following the cabinet picks. They're following the latest with Matt Gaetz. They're, you know, they're back to where they were before.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'm seeing that both in the podcast communication that we receive, but also YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, the volume of communication is far greater on the YouTube side of things. And it does seem like people are, they took their break, mm-hmm. and now they're ready to fight.
Yeah.
And they're pissed off.
Yeah.
What are the stages of grief? Do you know off the top of your head?
Denial.
Denial. Yeah, denial. Man, I just have no idea. I thought that I had it in my head.
Anger.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like depression, despondency, is that one of them?
Are you wanting to go in order?
Yeah, just give me them in order. Yeah.
Denial.
Okay, so conspiracy theories abounded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's part of denial.
Anger.
Of course. That's self-explanatory. That means people were pissed off.
Bargaining.
No, I don't need a quiz. Just tell me what they are.
No, bargaining, I'm telling you.
I don't know what bargaining would
a
be.
A quiz?
Yeah, I don't know. Keep going.
Well, no, bargaining is like the feeling of hopelessness that I was just talking about, where you start kind of...
Like strategizing for the next 4 years?
Yeah, I'm thinking about what needs to change, or really just kind of playing into this idea that we need something that gives us a sense of control. We need to like think of things that kind of give us a sense of control, or put things in a perspective that gives us a sense of control.
So denial.
Anger.
Bargaining.
And then one you had already said, depression.
Is it depression?
Yes.
And then where's acceptance is one of them, right?
The final one.
Oh, that's the next one.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it kind of maps on to kind of how I've gone through this.
Uh-huh.
And acceptance for me would be I mean, I was always in it for the fight, knowing that's where the outcome would be, knowing that's where I would end up. But I've gone through these, and I still, I don't think that these are like clearly defined, oh, you've moved on to this step, so you're done with that other step. It's a spectrum, just an amalgam of different emotions that you feel at different times.
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of people think that you go through the stages of grief in order, right? But you move back and forth between them and you don't, it's not like you, okay, I'm in the denial phase, headed into the anger phase, can't wait, I'm almost to the acceptance phase and everything's going to be great. And it would be nice if that was the case.
This for sure has been kind of my journey with, because also even the night of the election was kind of the stages of grief where you're like, I was totally in denial that it was happening because I had my reasoning set. That the only way for Kamala Harris, Donald Trump had to run the table for it to win. And I was like, what are the chances of that? It's just not going to happen. And then the dumb fuck did exactly that. So, but yeah, I'm more emboldened, more quote unquote radicalized about moving forward into this new season,
right,
for the next 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I think that I'm also hearing that from audience members on YouTube and the podcast, and it's very refreshing.
Yes,
that people are, you know, mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore, or whatever the line from that movie is.
Yeah. So, speaking of communication from listeners, we do have some emails and voicemails to get to, and
657-464-7609.
Yes,
and I doubt it at dollamore.com.
So before we jump into the actual listener communication, I want to tell a funny story because, you know, we have trolls.
Well, and that's actual listener communication. They're actually listening and they're actually communicating. They're just dipshits.
Interesting. Sure. I mean, we can debate that later. But so we have trolls and they vary in their approach. Some are more of a problem than others.
Yeah.
And again, we are hoping to give more updates on our very serious rape and death threat case that's still being investigated, but we can't give updates on it yet. So
there is an update.
There is an update. So back to the troll. We have many trolls, but one in particular we have had for a really long time, and he's a racist and just a generally vile person. But I don't read or listen to a lot of his communications, but this last episode he called, like he usually does, and left three 3-minute voicemails.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 9 minutes of talking.
Right.
Didn't listen to it, scanned the transcript of one of them, I think the last one that came in, and he said that he's been listening to the show for 10 years.
Wow.
Imagine hate listening to something for 10 years. What a waste of your life. And that in that time, we haven't grown or changed at all.
And he's listened for 10 years?
Yes.
And thinks we won't even talk about you, that I haven't changed?
Yeah.
Speaking of being radicalized,
yes,
I'm far more liberal than I was 10 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
Far more.
Yeah, I think that's
far
part of
less
the problem.
Adherent to this nicety attitude about, oh, I'm a moderate. I'm in the middle. No, neither party speaks for me. Fuck that.
Yes.
It's time to fight, people.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of the problem for the troll. Don't know. Can't say for sure. But I do think it is funny that someone is hate listening to something for a long time, because I do still hate listen to some things. For instance, Bill Maher's Overtime I watch every weekend.
Just Overtime, though. You don't watch the full show.
I could not watch the full show, but I do watch Overtime. And I think what makes it something that I can watch is that there's not always other hateable people on the panel. Mm. Sometimes there's decent people on the panel. But I can't imagine hate listening to an hour-long show for 10 years. And that would just set me over the edge.
Yeah, If somebody's bringing to the table an argument or a viewpoint in good faith, I can listen. If I disagree, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just somebody who's a fucking bomb thrower, that just sends me into one of the stages of grief, which would be anger or, you know, Blind Fury, Rage, whatever the last one. We're going to add one to it.
All right. So back to the actual listener communication. We have an email here from Eric. Jesse, Brittany, it seems like we were unable to get anything done with control of the Senate due to the filibuster. Can you help us understand what will be possible and won't be possible with the new Congress with both House and Senate in the maniac's control? I understand confirmations, including Supreme Court justices, etc., but not sure what else, and figured it might be helpful for us all to be aware. The filibuster sucked when we were in control, but does it give us any comfort now? I've been wanting to say this for a while. Whitney's the best part, but I don't know if anyone will still get that reference. It seems like forever ago. Thanks, Eric.
I'm not prepared.
That's the wrong drop. Hang on.
Love the show. Whitney's the best part.
Bye. I don't know that I remember Whitney's the best part.
It's speaking of another troll who hates me and is always telling me that I shouldn't be on this show and that I bring it down. And she calls me Whitney.
I don't.
There's just so many. It's hard to.
So Eric, non-troll, long-time listener.
Long time of the program. Yes.
So the way our system is set up, and I'm not going to go into some high school level fucking civics program with you, but the House is kind of a lost fucking cause. The House, there aren't rules to curtail the majority like there are in the Senate.
Should we talk about the breakdown first of what the numbers are?
Sure.
Vaguely?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and I will get those right
now.
Well,
let me talk about the Senate first then.
Okay.
You look up the House, I have the Senate. So the Senate right now is currently 53-47 Republicans. Republicans gained 4 seats in the Senate and Democrats lost 4 seats.
The House is 213 to 219 right now.
Yeah, that's tight. That's for sure tight. We'll go back. So actually no, we're going to Jesus Christ. We have been doing the show for more than 10 years, Brittany Burns. I don't know if you know. The Senate, obviously, through filibuster and the different rules that are available to the minority to slow the agenda of the majority, there's just a lot more power and mechanics at play for Democrats to push back against an agenda. However, it's going to take leadership that is strong, that is defiant, that is willing to go to war, metaphorically speaking here. We need Chuck Schumer to not be glad-handing my good friend across the aisle. We need them to put up a fucking resistance. We need Dick Durbin, the judiciary chairman, who's in his 70s, to maybe step aside and get somebody in there who is a fucking fighter. Mm-hmm. Someone who's going to, like, nope, we're going to throw up every roadblock. We're going to do everything we can to stand in the way of Donald Trump getting his fascistic agenda through. Whether that be... And here's the problem, is it takes an expert in Senate parliamentary procedure to do these things. I'm not that. But there are all kinds of rules about where bills originate and how they get voted on and whether they need this majority or this level of voting, whether they be budgetary or otherwise. We need to stop playing like Republicans are good faith actors here and act like we're actual resistance effort here.
Yeah.
And your part in this, Eric, and the audience, is to pressure. It's to stop playing party politics like it's a fucking football game and be willing to criticize the Democratic Party and influence, pressure the leaders in the Senate, in the House, Democrats, to do the right fucking thing and to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the House, sorry.
I couldn't tell if your pause was done or...
Well, I paused to give you a chance and then I'm like, I'm just moving on. Yeah. So the House is a kind of a different story because of the fact that it's baked into the House that if you're in the majority, even with one seat, you can run roughshod over the minority. It's just how it is. So we're pretty fucked in the House and fucked not only by virtue of the rules and how it works, but also by virtue of the fact that there are far more as a percentage and just sheer numbers too, radicals in the House. You don't have a slew of Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and Louis Gohmerts and Paul Gosars in the Senate. You've got a couple of dipshits like Mark Wayne Mullen and Tommy Tuberville. You've got a few, but it's nowhere near the level of insanity that you have in the House of Representatives. So for us regular folks, us regular citizens with little to no power, it's going to be relying upon Democratic leadership to be strong, to be defiant, and stop playing politics as fucking usual.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, we're seeing that many of the Democratic establishment people in power, several of the people you already named, but also including Joe Biden, are not up to the task. And I am going to link in the show notes to a Substack written by Thomas Zimmer, who's a historian at Georgetown. And Thomas has a Substack called Democracy Americana. And I shared this article that he wrote, Elite Acquiescence and Treacherous, quote unquote, Normalcy All Around Us. And it summarized so well a lot of my thinking right now related to how the Democratic Party is reacting to Donald Trump, particularly related to the transition. And I understand that the situation is difficult when you have people who have called Donald Trump a fascist and
also Hitler.
Well, I'm specifically talking about, yes, but I'm specifically talking about, like, it was a big step when,
oh, you're when, like, Joe Biden said they're semi-fascist, and then when Kamala Harris came right out and said, yes, they're fascist.
Yes.
Yeah.
To then invite him to the White House,
yeah, yeah,
take smiling photos with him.
Yeah. Wrong.
If you were going to
weak
take that step and say what is right, I believe, then you shouldn't be standing there smiling in a photo with him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you refuse to relinquish your seat. I'm not saying you refuse to relinquish your power, but you do take steps to continue to reinforce that this person is dangerous and that you are doing everything you can to try to preemptively protect our institutions and protect vulnerable populations.
Without a doubt.
Especially when Donald Trump is promising to enact horrific policies, including, you know, violent mass deportations as soon as he's in office.
This was a question while I was on that the Young Voter Summit in Toronto.
Oh, right.
And it was one of the things that was asked is my opinion about Joe Biden inviting him. And I said, well, I think it was wrong. I think it was weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And my fellow panelist, Dimitro Basmat is his name. He pushed back and he was like, well, you know, the peaceful transfer of power. But, well, why is it always up to do the responsible adult thing on Democrats? And Republicans can act as full disregarders of democracy and institutional norms. And no one ever says anything about that. But as soon as you criticize Joe Biden, let me say it like this. It's not as though a peaceful transfer of power wouldn't have taken place if Joe Biden didn't invite Donald Trump to the White House. Donald Trump didn't even attend the inauguration in 2021.
Right.
Because he was a fucking crybaby insurrectionist.
Right.
And now that Joe Biden... it just, why are we treating Republicans like they never treat us? And also, like, they don't even act like they want to be fucking treated.
Right.
They want to be treated like anti-democratic trolls. So treat them fucking like anti-democratic trolls.
Absolutely. And it's Democrats continue to act like this is a normal situation. And we're going to talk about the Morning Joe stuff a little bit later. But when you were in Canada, speaking of you being in Canada, the Future Voters Summit,
oh,
on your Canada.
Canada. My home and native land.
You're really trying to ingratiate yourself.
I love those
people. You
want
to get in, right?
Yes, please. Someone help.
So
I'll live in the basement.
Yeah. While you were there, I was holding it down here and filling in for you on your channel. And I talked about my frustration with this issue, with Democrats not coming forward and giving the people some sort of direction about what they can do, right?
Yeah.
To try to fight that hopelessness, to try to fight some of that grief that everyone was experiencing. And one thing that I keep coming back to is a column that Elizabeth Warren wrote in Time. And I just want to read a little bit from that because I think it will be helpful for Eric and also for everyone else to hear. And then I'm also going to link to this in the show notes.
This is also more evidence that not all elderly representatives in our democracy are weak cowards.
During the Trump years, Congress stepped up its oversight of his unprecedented corruption and abuses of power. In the Senate, Democrats gave no quarter to radical Trump nominees. We asked tough questions and held the Senate floor for hours to slow down confirmation and expose Republican extremism.
Those are the type of rules I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The power at the disposal of the minority. Go ahead, sorry.
These tactics doomed some nominations entirely, laid the groundwork for other cabinet officials to later resign in disgrace, and brought scrutiny that somewhat constrained Trump's efforts. I love the honesty in somewhat. When all this work came together, we won some of the toughest fights. Remember Republicans' attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act? Democrats did not have the votes to stop the repeal. Nevertheless, we fought on. Patients kept up a relentless rotation of meetings in Congress. Activists in wheelchairs performed civil disobedience, and lawmakers used every tactic possible. Late-night speeches, forums highlighting patient stories, committee reports, and procedural tactics to draw attention to the Republican repeal effort. This sustained resistance ultimately shifted the politics of healthcare repeal. The final vote was a squeaker, but Republicans lost and the ACA survived. So reading this is something that's hopeful for me because it's inspiring first, that and it's helpful to be reminded of the past when we also felt panicked about Donald Trump being in power and what he planned to do.
I'm going to be a wet blanket, but go ahead.
I can see it on your face.
Yeah.
And that, well, I think it's important for people to know that they still have some power and influence. And if we let go of that completely and we give in and we say that we don't have that anymore, or it's going to be too hard now, it's going to be impossible now, then it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say is it's going to be harder.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be harder.
It doesn't mean it's impossible.
Yes.
And Trump is absolutely going to have wins. Abso-fucking-lutely he's going to have wins.
Yeah, in a nightmare way.
However, he learned from the mistakes of the first administration. They learned there is conservative institutional knowledge that they didn't have before that they do have now, and they're gonna use that. I think our greatest hope in this, Eric and others who are curious about this question, is Donald Trump is sure, as he already has proven, he's gonna get in his own way. Donald Trump is gonna step on his own dick, just based on the hubris and arrogance and radicalism that is just natural to him. Picking Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general nominee is just fucking bonkers. Mm-hmm. Matt Gaetz is roundly, and I'll use a very diplomatic word, disliked by mainstream elected Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He's reviled and fucking hated, mm-hmm. in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a miscalculation. One of many, 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 many that are going to be upcoming from just Donald Trump on his own fucking himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going to be tougher this time. Donald Trump's going to have more wins than he had last time, in my estimation. And it's going to take all of us, whether it be letter writing, getting involved, volunteering at the local level, and, you know, maybe not even outside of politics, but doing some volunteer work to relieve some of the burden of the nightmare that is to come on marginalized population. LGBTQ organizations, they need help. Homeless advocacy organizations, poverty abatement organizations, they're all active and local in your local area. And you could take one day, one afternoon a week, one afternoon every other week. I'm kind of going into sales mode here, but, you know, it'll go a long way toward helping people.
So thank you for that email, Eric. Hopefully that was helpful for you.
Sorry, man.
And we have another email here from Brian G. in Washington. Hey, Brittany and Jesse, greetings from the Pacific Northwest. Been listening since 2019, and this is the first time I'm reaching out. In response to the MAGA Republicans wanting to eliminate the ACA without a replacement option, this will actually end up killing millions of people, if not more. I was diagnosed with epilepsy back in February of 2019. Thankfully, I had health insurance through the ACA as my Keppra. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Medication would be over $700 per month, and the cost would probably go up. That's just one medication I'm on. In total, I would be paying $1,300 per month just to stay alive. I'm actually starting to ration out my medication as I don't know how long it will take until we no longer have insurance. There are approximately 3 million people in the United States alone with this diagnosis, and I'm very blessed that I don't have severe epilepsy, but there are millions who are not as fortunate and have multiple grand mals a day slash week. I fear for the American people for many reasons. However, this is one of my biggest fears for myself and my wife. In response to your latest podcast, I completely understand where you're coming from with telling people on a fixed income to not become a Patreon member and to take care of themselves. However, you guys, along with Pacman, Brian Tyler Cohen, Midas Touch, and others, are one of the few ways that truth gets out there. We can no longer rely on mainstream media to give us an accurate depiction of the truth and need all the support we can muster. You are both extremely honorable people, and I am blessed that my wife found you on YouTube. Keep up the amazing work. We will persevere and get through this together. As Lincoln once said, united we stand, divided we fall. Brian.
Thank you, Brian. It really does put a real face on the very real dangers and chaos that real people are going to face, that already are facing. Talking about rationing medicine. I mean, we've seen there's all kinds of YouTube video. Maybe it's just my algorithm going crazy, but I'm seeing all kinds of videos of compilations of people on TikTok who are now like, oh shit, what? The ACA and Obamacare are the same thing? Yeah, I wanted to get rid of Obamacare, but I didn't know that was the Affordable Care Act. I'm going to lose my health insurance. Now they're Googling, how do I change my vote? Mm-hmm. These dumb fucks. So there's some real damage that could be done. I mean, we're on the ACA.
Yeah, I think that
my cancer could come back. Fuck, you know?
I think this was an important part of, like, AOC's videos in the aftermath of the election, too. She talked about how there needs to be, like, civics education. And she's like, there's no shame if people don't understand, like, the basic fundamentals of how government works.
It's complex. And we have a very weird fucking system. Every Uber I was in Toronto, when they were like, oh, what are you doing in town? Oh, I'm at this thing. Oh, and then they want to talk about what the fuck is wrong with your system.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think it was an important point that she made, that many people may not be as educated on the fundamentals and basics as they should be. And we know that a lot of people voted for Trump simply because they want to punish the libs. They want to hurt the libs.
Yeah.
And they don't think about things in terms of...
You could have just perioded right after things.
What
they don't think about things.
What politics actually is. And yeah. I think many people don't think about what politics actually is. But well, it is whether or not you're going to be able to access your health care. It is whether or not you're going to be able to afford your medication. It is intimately intertwined with everyday decisions that you make. And people think of politics as this other thing. It's like a conflict. It's something that we can't talk about. No, it's your everyday life. It's the choices that you make every day and whether or not you can make those choices. So I hope that we can make progress on this given what we're facing. But again, sometimes I don't feel so optimistic about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, if you are on a fixed income, please do not give to us. I mean,
We're not being cute.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And I'm also not trying to tell someone what to do with their money, because we did get messages and they're like, it's important to me to do this and I'm going to do it. So fuck off. You know,
it's not like we're going to go through and block people who tell us on a fixed income, because that's something we could do.
Yeah. And you can choose. Absolutely. But I'm just telling you, we would prefer that you don't do that.
We're just telling you, you're making us feel uncomfortable. So if that's what you want to do, then fucking you go right ahead, I guess. But
yeah. So All right. Thank you for that email, Brian.
That's me feeling uncomfortable.
We will all try to get through this together. We have one more piece of listener communication, and that is Nico in New York.
How you doing, Jesse and Brittany? Nico from New York here. It's been a rough week, and it's not even over yet.
Yes, sir.
I mean, honestly, you guys were asking how we're doing to cope, and I'm taking a break. Taking a mental break from the news, taking a mental break from anything that's not directly related to me and my family, because I got to focus on what I love and who I love.
Good for you.
Got my kid, got my wife, got my mom. And that's what I'm doing. Taking time. Taking time so I can recharge the battery and get back in the fight eventually. Because we got to fight for these people too. Got to fight for the people that I love, the ones I just mentioned, and we got to fight for people I don't know. Well, that's all I got for now. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love the show. Brittany's the best part.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part. Bye.
So I thought that would be a good message to end the listener communication on. And, you know, kind of, I didn't even mean to couple it with Brian's email previously as well, but they're are people, right? If you aren't in these situations, if I read Brian's email and you're like, wow, I'm not in a situation like that. I'm not facing the fear of whether or not I'll have health insurance. I'm not facing a fear of whether or not I'll be able to pay for my medications. Just know that there are people that are afraid whether or not they're going to be able to access things that save their life.
Yeah.
And that this is really life and death for many people. And that's why we have to stay involved.
I think it really is a lesson for also just the fundamental differences between the priorities of Republicans and the priorities of the Democratic Party. And it's the difference between punching down and punching up. It's the difference between advocating for others who are in situations that you'll never face, but you have empathy and abiding compassion for those people, where Republicans, they just want to make it more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, they want to give more power to the most powerful and glean, scrape, diminish the power of people who have very little or none already. So,
yeah. So thank you for that, Nico. Thank you for that, Brian. Thank you for that, Eric. And we want to thank our Patreon supporters, because we did not do that last episode. So this is going to be quite the list. If you are used to fast forwarding through this section, get ready. Okay. We would like to thank our new Patreon supporters, Rev Bab, Douglas W. Judith.
James T.W.
Robert S. I think maybe not, like Diva Jet.
Diva Jet.
Eric K.
Jesus V.
Lisa.
Ken.
Donald M. Premier Warehouse. FJ. Daniel L.
Jen.
Mary B. Ernest B.
Tony.
JJ. Andrea K.
Randy R.R.
Greg B.
John B.
Kevin D.
Yvette.
Elizabeth N.
ML.
Kevin M. Richard R.
Lissa.
Mark N. Tate. Jilky I.
Who knows?
Richard H. I wasn't struggling to pronounce Richard. I was still recovering from the previous.
From the Jilky Gilky?
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't know. Jeff B. It's J-L-K-Y.
Right. It's J-L-K-Y. Oh,
no,
J-L-K-Y.
I can't get over the one I was struggling to. That's what it is.
J-L-K-Y.
Okay. Okay, did we say Jeff B?
Yeah, Jeff B.
Kenneth B. Wow, really?
Is that really it?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Sacred Psy Shock.
Now we're just sea cells by the seashore right now. Come on.
Jules M.
Ethan.
And K.
And K.
You can tell that some people are concerned about privacy as they are, you know, concealing.
As well they should be.
Concealing their identity. So we want to give a special shout out to Patreon supporters who have increased their pledge amounts since the previous episode. And that would be CTK.
CTK.
Easy Pickup Girl.
Easy Pickup Girl.
Dave M.
Dave M.
And Just Dan.
Just Dan.
And we want to give a special shout out to a Patreon supporter who made a very generous increase and has been a long time listener and supporter of the show. And that would be Mary T. H. Shout out to Mary T. H.
Unbelievable.
Thank you so much for your support of the show.
We love how uncomfortable you made us. It is just fantastic, Mary. So great.
So we appreciate you all. It's been a weird... It's been... Sweepy's barking.
That's me being uncomfortable again.
It's been a weird time. And
it's kind of like Tina on Bob's Burgers, my uncomfortable thing I'm doing.
Okay. I don't understand that reference because I refuse to watch that show.
You do. A lot of screaming. You don't like it.
It's just the voices, yeah. It's been a weird time.
Yeah.
And we appreciate everyone rallying together. We appreciate the community in the Dollamore Listener Group on Facebook, in the Patreon discussion tabs. I mean, everyone is coping in their own ways, and we are moving forward. The clips that we are about to play is going to be very much a kind of back to normal type show. So if you were just wanting to hang out with us for a little bit and go through listener communication and you don't want to handle the news, then feel free to tune out because we are getting ready to go right back into what the show has been.
We invite your participation in listener communication. It is 657-464-7609. And of course, as always, you can email a voice memo from your smartphone to idoubtit@dollamore.com.
The whole power structure's coming down. Number one show in the world right now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dollamocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So Donald Trump promised that if he won the election, he would let RFK Jr. loose on the food, on the medicines.
Go wild,
whatever he said.
He also promised, I saw this on Blue Sky the other day, which, by the way, is really turning into what Twitter used to be.
Oh, yeah? You're cozy in your echo chamber over on Blue Sky?
Yeah. Donald Trump also, somebody posted a screenshot from him when he was here in D.C. at the Libertarian Presidential Convention, the party convention. And he promised to put a Libertarian on his cabinet.
Oh.
And he did not.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no Libertarians named to the cabinet.
Perfect. Well, that's not the first time that he has broken a promise or lied.
Yeah.
That's pretty consistent with his moral character. So, also related to Blue Sky, it is great. And I was obviously joking about all the people that are calling it an echo chamber. When you're on Twitter, all you see are Elon Musk's posts about how Western civilization is ending and the white birth rate is going down.
It's just bananas Nazi shit.
Yeah, and then there's people that are telling me that they hope that cancer goes all the way next time for you.
It kills me, yeah.
Which is fine, right? It's not like I'm going to lose sleep over these trolls again, but it's something I would prefer not to see, right?
Yeah. It's also not productive because you have to wade through all of that fucking nonsense to get to anything of any value.
Yeah. So... enough with that. Yeah. All right. So RFK Jr. is the pick for the Secretary of Health and Human Services, even though he has a lengthy history of being anti-vaccine and believing any number of conspiracy theories related to health.
It is bizarre to me, this whole, I mean, it's not bizarre, it's on brand for these fucking hypocrites who will say and do anything to be closer to or adjacent to or in having power. And like, you say it all the time when you see the absolutely objectively unhealthy looking RFK, mm-hmm. that he's gonna maha make America healthy again with his fucking zen, yeah. and his eating McDonald's on Donald Trump's fucking plane, and it's all lies and hypocrisy. All he does is serve to gin up conspiracy and distrust of the system in the minds of already vulnerable and conspiracy-friendly individuals.
Yeah, and that's something the trolls love to do, too, is they'll respond to my posts about RFK online, and they'll show a picture of him and juxtapose it with someone else that they, I guess, deem to look unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it's usually the picture of RFK with his shirt off, and he's, you know, he is muscular.
He's taken drugs to look like that. But he's not naturally. You don't get buff as you get older. That's not how it fucking works.
Zoom in on his head. There's not a single day that this guy has put sunscreen on his face or his neck.
Well, that's because that's poison, Brittany. You gotta. They're turning the fucking frogs gay, Brittany.
Yeah, just because you have a bicep muscle doesn't mean that you are healthy. So yeah. I also want to say, related to that, just briefly, going back to, like, Bill Maher is always talking about the ingredients in our food and in our vaccines.
Right.
While he is pouring alcohol by the glassful down his gullet. Now, listen.
Literal neurotoxin. Literal carcinogen.
Now, listen, I love myself a Negroni, okay? I also drink, but I understand the risk that it poses to my health. And so it's very funny to me that he's, like, talking about ingredients in our vaccines and in our food while he's poisoning himself with alcohol. It's somehow have this ability to compartmentalize and not think about that.
Yeah, listen, and it's not just some puritanical thing. Both of us drink. When I got cancer, the doctors, there were two things that they were like, oh, well, that's a problem. One was how much I drank. And the other was, oh, wait, you have a smoker? You have a thing that makes briskets smoked?
Right. And she's like, you have something that puts the cancer into the food?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
it's like giving your brisket a cigarette.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, is brisket delicious? Of course it is. But does it increase your risk of cancer? Yes. And so does alcohol. So does alcohol. You can still enjoy, but let's be honest with ourselves about what the fuck we're doing here.
Yeah.
Bill Maher and Dead Bear McGee.
So let's set aside that Dead Bear McGee is going to be overseeing the CDC, overseeing the FDA, overseeing...
go running wild on health.
Overseeing the NIH. Truly, truly a terrible thought. What is new about RFK Jr. and something that we did not know until recently is that in addition to the many people that now coddle Trump, support Trump, protect Trump, he has also compared Donald Trump to Hitler and described some of his supporters as Nazis. And so this is some audio that was undercovered by CNN's Andrew Kaczynski. And there's two different clips here. So we're going to play this first one where he's specifically talking about what he characterizes as the bootlickers around Donald Trump.
You know, one of the things that you write so beautifully, and your stuff is so fun to read, but you write about Trump. Quote, the way that you build a truly vicious nationalist movement is to wed a relatively small core of belligerent idiots to a much larger group of opportunists and spineless fellow travelers whose primary function is to turn a blind eye to things. We may not have that many outright Nazis in America, but we have plenty of cowards and bootlickers, and once those fleshy dominoes start tumbling into the Trump camp, the game is up. When you talk about fleshy dominoes, Chris Christie comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that I've ever heard a more succinct and intelligent, well-spoken explanation of the bootlickers that surround Trump. Unfortunately, the sexy allure of power just transformed Robert Kennedy Jr. into one of those fucking fleshy dominoes, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, again, not surprising because there's so many people that in the past had an accurate read on Donald Trump and they were open about that, including J.D. Vance.
Yeah, including vice president-elect.
And you'll see a lot of these conservative commentators now on various platforms online or on TV, when they are asked about this, they will say, oh yeah, the people who have called him Hitler. And I'm so sick of hearing that line because J.D. Vance said that. His vice president said that. So enough. You can't use that line anymore. You can't complain about Hitler being invoked. J.D. Vance said that.
Yeah.
But RFK went further in this audio that was uncovered. And I believe a lot of these comments date back to 2016. So like Donald Trump's first kind of coming on the political scene.
Yeah, but we only know more about Donald Trump now.
Right.
That opinion is even more cemented into our reality based on our understanding of Donald Trump. So it's not like he got better.
Right. And this is RFK Jr. really zooming in on the things that Donald Trump says and how they are racist.
The easiest thing for a politician to do is to appeal to fear. And you can see that every statement that Donald Trump makes is fear-based. Every statement he makes. You know, we have to be fear of the Muslims. We have to be fear of the black people, and particularly the big black guy, Obama, who's destroying this country, who's making everybody miserable. And only one person has the genius and the capacity to solve these things. I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it. Just trust in me, vote for me, and everything will be great again. And of course, that is a really, you know, that whole thing is like a carnival barker. But carnival barkers make a lot of money. And, you know, as the most famous carnival barker of all time said, P.T. Barnum, you can fool, you know, let me paraphrase, a lot of the people a lot of the time. And I think that's, and the way, and there's a strict, easy formula for doing that, and that is to blend fear with these hyperbolic promises about what you're going to deliver.
Well, it's a terrifying.
It's almost like he's describing.
Was he on with Sam Cedar there?
I don't believe so. I don't know the name of the radio person that he was on with, but it's almost like he's describing the playbook that he would then go on to adopt for his own campaign.
Yeah.
And now how he chooses to operate. And he released a statement. It's not like he didn't respond to these recordings that were then released. And he said, quote, like many Americans, I allowed myself to believe the mainstream media's distorted, dystopian portrait of President Trump. I no longer hold this belief and now regret having made those statements.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I'm going to go running wild on health, everything I said was wrong.
Yeah.
My erudite and well-thought-out, well-spoken explanation was totally wrong. Because why? The evil media. Come on.
This is saying that some of these comments date back to 2016. The CNN reporting is saying, I should be specific, from Andrew Kaczynski, that these comments date back to 2016 when on his radio show Ring of Fire. Is that Farron Cousins?
Oh, RFK Jr. is like an original founder or involved. He had involvement with Ring of Fire, yeah.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Which is it's a problem because RFK Jr. has been a bad fucking guy for a long time.
Yeah, so we would love to know what you think about RFK Jr. being the secretary of, let's not call him a secretary, let's say, what is it, Running Wild?
Yeah, well, I don't know, has he been named for an actual position?
The secretary of...
Oh, it's HHS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The secretary
yeah.
of Health and Human Services.
Fucking nightmare.
Yeah, so it is...
657-464-7609, of course, email, idoubtit@dollemore.com. Can we talk about Nancy Mace?
Unfortunately, yeah. Republican from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Nancy Mace, I mean, is just an opportunist, just a bigoted, shameless, dignity-free actor.
Mm-hmm.
She has tweeted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times punching down on not only the trans community at large, but also one of her new colleagues, Sarah McBride, the first trans member of Congress from Delaware.
First out trans member of Congress, yeah.
And holy shit, Nancy Mace is just to call her unhinged, just isn't getting it done. It's wild as shit.
Yeah, so she specifically is wanting there to be a push for people, there to be new rules surrounding bathroom use on Capitol Hill. And that is, you cannot use the bathroom unless it is aligned with your biological sex, what you were born as at birth, whatever. And she, like you said, is making countless videos, making countless media appearances, trying to ratchet up fear about trans people.
Lucky for us, there's not a more important things to focus on than where people empty their bladder.
Yeah. And Jesus. Specifically creating a hostile work environment for Sarah McBride, being abusive, and actually openly making physical threats. So she went on Michael Knowles' show, a conservative commentator associated with The Daily Wire.
He's the one who said we need to eradicate, quote unquote, transgenderism.
Yeah, so of course he had Nancy Mace on, and she went so far as to threaten violence against Sarah McBride.
Well, common sense is out the window. There are literally members of Congress today that are saying I'm a bigot and that I'm a bully because I'm defending my right to privacy. Now, a lot of people may not know I'm a survivor of rape. I was raped at the age of 16. I'm also a survivor of domestic abuse and sexual abuse. And so I am absolutely triggered by the idea of a man's genitalia being in my bathroom or a locker room or a space where I'm changing. That is a hard pass for me, and it will come to throws. There will be fists if this happens. I mean, I just can't even. I'm absolutely triggered by the idea that women don't have rights in this country, and I'm going to make sure that I protect them. And this shouldn't be controversial. I came from a district that's as purple as my dress, and as you say, independents are with us. There are most Democrats that are with us. It's just the radical left that are forcing this crazy gender ideology down the throats of our children and other Americans across the country for 0.5%. I'm not giving up women's rights for 0.5% of people in this country. And there's a mental illness here, there are mental health issues. I'm being threatened by some of these men dressed as women. They're literally threatening to kill me if they can't use a women's restroom. And I ask why. Like, it's insanity to me.
Playing the victim while actively, publicly victimizing maybe the most marginalized and at-risk populations in the country.
Yeah. Well, and here's where all of this falls flat. I mean, number one, you can look at the statistics, and it's not trans people that are assaulting people. Men assault women, and that can happen at the train station. That can happen in a restaurant. That can happen anywhere. No one needs to go through a process to change their gender in order to access others and assault them. That's not the process by which that happens. And, you know, she's weaponizing her trauma against other people. She's trying to say that she is a sexual assault survivor and this is triggering for her. And there are other sexual assault survivors who don't feel the way that she does, who feel that she's being abusive, and we'll get to that in a moment. But she also went on and was talking about how the idea of a quote-unquote man walking into a locker room where she's changing, well, we'll just play it.
One thing I know the left will say in response to what you just said is, well, it's horrific that you were subjected to any abuse or assault, any of it. But are you intimating that this new congressman-elect would somehow assault you in the bathroom? That would
it
be
is,
the argument.
The idea of a man walking into a locker room where I'm changing is actually, it feels like assault. I am a victim. I have PTSD from the trauma that I have endured at the hands of a man. And I absolutely, I'm going to stand in the way solidly of any guy that wants to come into our spaces. And guess what? Sarah McBride doesn't get a say in this, and I'm not gonna succumb or be silenced by bullies online or by the radical left. They lost big, and I'm gonna push back harder than ever before.
You want to know how I know she's not serious? Is that she continues to call her colleagues in the House of Representatives the radical left. as though there's a single member of Congress, name one, who's a radical in the United States Congress, either House or Senate. There's not a single member elected to office at the federal level who is a radical. No one. Mm-hmm. Secondly, she would have Sarah McBride, who is very feminine presenting, use the bathroom of credibly accused rapists like Matt Gaetz and Robert Kennedy Jr. and Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump. She, Nancy Mace, would want to subject Sarah McBride to that kind of maelstrom of assault and bad behavior.
Here's how I know she's lying. I like how we ended up with different, you know, coming at this from all angles. I know she's lying because she supports men who are credibly accused of sexual assault and sexual harassment. And it's quite funny, actually, to hear Nancy Mace try to pretend like she's concerned about men walking into locker rooms, because Donald Trump himself was accused of walking into a teen dressing room.
Not accused. He said with his own fucking stupid face that he used to do that. Because I own the pageant, he would say. He said it.
And it was confirmed at the time by teen contestants.
Yes.
That they, you know, when this came out, they reached out to comment. BuzzFeed reached out to comment for these girls who were teenagers at the time, and they confirmed. One was Mariah Bilodeau, Miss Teen Vermont 1997, saying, quote, "I remember putting on my dress really quick because I was like, oh my God, there's a man in here." Three other teenage contestants from the same year confirmed that story.
Yeah.
So he's walking into teen dressing rooms when they are in various stages of undress.
Is Nancy Mace having PTSD or triggered by that? Or is she supportive of Donald Trump in anything and everything he does?
Absolutely. And, you know,
and by the way, don't take that as me discounting her having PTSD. She's a legitimate sexual assault survivor. She very likely does have PTSD. She very likely is traumatized.
Yeah, and it's horrible that that happened to her. But it's also horrible to then be weaponizing your trauma against other people and creating a hostile and abusive environment against Sarah McBride where there are now threats of violence.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. And like I said, there's other people who have an abuse history who feel very differently from Nancy Mace, and that's AOC. You know, AOC in 2022 came out with her story where she talked about, like, being thankful that she had the choice to get an abortion when she took a pregnancy test after being raped. And AOC was very forceful in her defense of Sarah McBride against these attacks from Nancy Mace.
What Nancy Mace and what Speaker Johnson are doing are endangering all women and girls. Because if you ask them, what is your plan on how to enforce this, they won't come up with an answer. And what it inevitably results in are women and girls who are primed for assault because people are going to want to check their private parts in suspecting who is trans and who is cis and who's doing what. And so the idea that Nancy Mace wants little girls and women to drop trow in front of who? An investigator? Who would that be? In order, because she wants to suspect and point fingers at who she thinks is trans, is disgusting. It is disgusting. And frankly, all it does is allow these Republicans to go around and bully any woman who isn't wearing a skirt because they think she might not look woman enough. People have a right to express themselves, to dress how they want, and to be who they are. And if a woman doesn't look woman enough to a Republican, they want to be able to inspect her genitals to use a bathroom. It's disgusting. And everybody, no matter how you feel on this issue, should reject it completely. What are they doing? They're doing this so that Nancy Mace can make a buck and send a text and fundraise off an email. They're not doing this to protect people. They're endangering women. They're endangering girls of all kinds. And everybody should reject it. It's gross. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's also, I love what she said. I love everything that she said there. But I'm also just reminded of my experiences in, like, airport bathrooms and in public restrooms. And sometimes I'll see these videos of, like, you know, Karens approaching people in these public bathrooms and, like, asking them their gender and if they are in the bathroom.
Usually with their camera running, filming in the private bathroom as though that's not a problem.
Yeah, and I can't I can't imagine like going into a public bathroom and like being on investigation mode. Like, I'm not looking at people in the bathroom. I don't really care who's in there. We're all trying to get our business done. You're listening to people like grunt one out next to you and they're having a rough time next door, you know? And I think we should just talk about it in those terms. Like, why does Nancy Mace care worse than... Why does she care where someone's taking a dump? Like, there is, like, yes. actual... This is just something that everyone needs to do.
Also,
and
look...
Let them do it.
Can we not also, like, just better our situation, how we run things bathroom-wise in the United States?
Oh, my God.
In Europe?
Yes.
Jesus. You can't peek through the crack and, like, oh, I see what you're doing in there. Yeah. There's none of that. Why don't we just have gender-neutral bathrooms with doors that go all the way to the fucking ceiling?
Totally.
And no crack in the door where you can be like, oh, that's your wiping technique because I can see straight through the door, y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're making eye contact with people as they walk by. Exactly. So it's disgusting. It's horrifying. We should
pooping,
all
pooping or
depends. Yeah, it depends on what happened.
Well, it just listen. When she's like, they're calling me a bigot. Just lean into it. You're a fucking bigot. That's what you are. It's not some device to punish you. You're being a bigot. Textbook connotative or denotative bigot.
And that's the main point of all of this, is that if she were serious about protecting people,
yes,
protecting women, then she wouldn't be supporting these people in her party who are credibly accused of rape, and the president, who's been found civilly liable of sexual assault and, you know, has dozens of sexual assault and sexual harassment allegations.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be supporting a man like that, but she does. She does. So
punching down, just despicable behavior.
Absolutely. So I came across this PBS mashup of transgender Americans talking about their concerns about where things are headed now that Donald Trump won re-election. And this kind of reminds me of Brian's email from earlier of people who are genuinely afraid and the stakes are very high. And this is just kind of a mashup of people who are either parents to trans children or are activists in the trans space talking about what they're thinking and feeling.
We saw over 800% calls increased on that day, the day of the election results. That was a very sobering number.
I mean, I think that there's a portion of Americans out there that just don't want to learn and stay ignorant whenever it comes to gender. They are very black and white whenever they're like, there's only boys and girls.
We're scrambling to find resources and trying to figure out a way to maintain access to very, very basic services, much less, you know, services to thrive, right? It's about survival right now.
We continue to be told that our bodies are not ours, that we don't get the right to decide how we exist in our own bodies. No matter how much we fight for people to see us as human, we are constantly up against this idea that trans people are not human.
Raising a trans child is such a joy. She has taught me so much about the human soul and how to love and loving unconditionally and not judging a book. And she's just funny and smart. She's a normal kid. But I tell you, this is not normal parenting. I have to vet anyone, like dance studios, hairdressers. I want to ensure that my child is going to be around safe people.
I carry the weight of these kids with me, of their well-being, of their struggles. And I don't take that lightly. We have a responsibility to them. You know, some of the things that are being spoken about what will happen with this Trump presidency, with gender-affirming care not being available for anyone, I think for a lot of them, they were thinking, well, 18, that's the magic age, right? When I get to that age, when I get there, then this whole world will open up to what is available to me. And then when the thought of that light at the end of the tunnel goes out, that can create this vacuum for hope.
I think that my biggest fear is that we won't reach the people that need us the most in times like this to remind them that there are trans people that believe that they deserve to live, that they're that we are happy that they're alive.
It is hard to hate up close. If you met my children, you would want to protect them too. They're children.
It is just a bummer that we're in this time and place in history where you have a legitimate at-risk group that has off-the-charts suicide rates and assault and murder and abuse at the hands of bigots, and you've got members of Congress, people at the highest echelons of power who have a charge to make people's lives better through their power, through democracy, and instead they're punching down, not punching up. They're not holding power to account. They're shitting on people. And, you know, what you just heard was just an amalgam, a mashup of people, both trans and parents of trans kids, who are good and decent. And you're also seeing that from Sarah McBride, who's being very gracious and very decent in the face of wild bigotry and hatred. Mm-hmm. She's just like, I'm not here. Do what you're going to do. I'll follow the rules of the House. I'm here to represent Delawareans. Mm-hmm. So it's incumbent upon all of us, if you know somebody who's trans, who isn't aggressive or radicalized because they have to protect themselves and be decent and follow the rules or whatever the fuck.
Right.
It's up to us to stand in the gap for them.
Yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just... Why should Sarah McBride be forced into a position to have to be taking the quote-unquote high road or be the decent person?
Right.
But that's the way it always is. Mm-hmm. Because real consequences of violence could come her way if not.
Yeah. And that's another, you just made me think of something else where Nancy Mace has been going on these shows and saying, these people are mentally ill, like talking about trans people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting...
Does she not know PTSD is a mental illness?
Well, it's kind of an interesting argument, right? Like, so you believe these people are mentally ill and you're going to target and harass them and right. generally make their life worse
right.
and increase the violent threats against them and increase all of the things that increase the suicide rates. Like,
right.
What are you saying? Like, listen to yourself. Even if you did believe that, right? If you do believe that, then why are you comporting yourself the way that you are?
Well, back in 2021, I believe, there's a tweet from Nancy Mace where she's just very boldly proclaiming herself to be a champion to stand up for and protect specifically the transgender community. So she's just an opportunistic, grifting, fucking bootlicking coward mm-hmm. in this particular matter.
Absolutely.
Absolutely she is.
Yeah.
Fucking disgusting. Hypocrisy is a fucking disease, a communicable disease in the Republican Party.
So we are going to finish with two brief clips from Morning Joe because we can't...
Speaking of fucking cowards.
We can't not talk about this, everybody, because we do a lot of media criticism on the show and there's going to be so many opportunities for that to continue. So Morning Joe with Mika Brzezinski.
That's me. That's bootlick.
With Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. And they admitted that they went down to meet with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. They did not record anything. They did not conduct an on-air interview.
Right.
They did not reveal any specific details or specific quotes or statements.
In deference to the president-elect, we wanted to have a private meeting.
Right. And so there's a few comments here that I want to highlight. And the first one is that they're telling us, Mika and Joe, that we're going to have to, we need a new approach to deal with Donald Trump.
As somebody close to Donald Trump told me this past weekend, this is a president who's not seeking re-election. So maybe, just maybe, now could be the time for both parties to get to work.
Both parties.
I know, given the jarring headlines that we read every day, That may seem like a stretch, but think about this. Of the 150 million votes cast, Donald Trump got 50%. Kamala Harris got about 49%. So I don't know. Seems to make sense for leaders of both parties to seek common ground, if it's possible at all. And I will tell you, a lot of Democratic leaders we've talked to this past week, since the election, have told Mika and me it's time for a new approach. And when I say top Democrats, I mean top Democrats.
Name them. I want to know who these top Democrats are. Who are the top Democrats that are telling you that we need a new approach? When Donald Trump is going to be more steadfast, he's going to be ready to hit the ground running with all these numerous people that he's appointing that are directly from Project 2025, the thing that he claimed that he didn't know anything about, the thing that he claimed he was not a part of.
He fucking appointed Russ Vought, the head dude for Project 2025, as the head of the Office of Management and Budget.
Yeah.
Which is the office that will see to Schedule F. Fuck off. Fuck off, Joe Scarborough. Fuck off, Mika Brzezinski. You are both bootlicking cowards who are complicit in welcoming fascism to the United States. You have a fucking charge. You are protected by the Constitution of the United States, the only occupation mentioned as protected by the document. And what are you doing? You're abdicating your role and that protection by cozying up for Donald Trump, rushing down there to bend the knee. Fuck off. Did I mention fuck off?
And that is absolutely what happens, because we're being told that we need to meet in the middle. We need to find a way to work with him. Work with him on what? The mass deportations that start on day one?
Also, their reasoning
Tom
for
Holman
doing this,
saying that the solution to not separating families is to deport families together.
Yeah, even American citizens within the families.
We need to find common ground with that.
Joe, also, their public-facing reason for going, which is we need to find a new way, is bullshit when you listen to people who are insiders who say, no, they went down there because they're fucking afraid.
Yep.
They're afraid of what Donald Trump is going to do to them specifically, so they are bending the knee and giving up their role as resistors.
Right. That was reporting to fascism. That was reporting from Brian Stelter with CNN, saying that they're afraid of retribution. And so this...
So it's cowardice. It's fucking cowardice.
This next clip, we want to give even time for Mika and Joe here. So this is going to be Mika telling us that, well, you know what? I just want you to hear it.
We know this will be a consequential presidency. The question is whether it will be constructive. It will take a new approach from all sides, from both parties, and a leader who can bring them together, and only time will tell if Donald Trump is that leader.
Only time will tell whether Donald Trump is that leader. Only time has told, Mika! He's not new on the scene, sister. We had 2017 to 2021. There was a pandemic, a global pandemic, where nearly 1.5 million Americans are dead because of Donald Trump's incompetence and fucking fecklessness. There were family separations. We know what Donald Trump is about. What do you mean? Only time will tell. Well, I guess it's a wait and see. We'll figure it out soon enough.
Only time will tell if Donald Trump is the leader to bring us together.
Oh.
To bring us together.
Yes.
He's going to be the one. He could be the one to bring us together. He may believe that Democrats are the party of pedophiles and amplify QAnon. You know, the people who believe that they're drinking the blood and doing the pedophilia.
He's promised long prison sentences for donors of Kamala Harris.
But I don't know. I think at the meeting, he was upbeat. He was excited to work with Democrats.
Oh, yes.
Life is a fucking nightmare.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on. What are we doing here?
We're ending the show. That's what we're doing.
What are we doing? Please stop. Don't torture us anymore.
Well, the good news is their ratings fucking caved in on themselves.
And you know what? That's a good sign.
Yes.
That's a good sign that Democrats are not going to take this fake normalcy shit anymore.
Yeah.
And that we can't afford to. And that's the thing. When you have Donald Trump talking about calling people animals and
vermin.
And vermin.
Poisoning the blood of our country. That's, echoing the words of Adolf Hitler.
We can't cede ground to that.
Yeah.
We can't find common ground. We can't meet in the middle on that. No, that is, you fight against that.
And these MAGA fucking jerk-offs are getting emboldened. I saw my first MAGA hat in Washington, D.C. We've lived here for going on 3 years. Mm-hmm. January will be 3 years. I've never seen a MAGA hat other than like on a tourist, like down the kids who are like the tourists down at
the bus tours.
Yeah, and actually, I don't think I've even seen a MAGA hat there. It's like a Trump sweatshirt or something.
No, I've seen MAGA hats on kids, yeah.
But deep in D.C., in a neighborhood mm-hmm. where tourists aren't around.
DuPont Circle.
I saw a fucking...
On DuPont Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess tourists are there, but...
Right? We were...
And he unzipped his jacket, and it was the fight, assassination fucking t-shirt.
We had just gone to Un Je Ne Sais Quoi. If you ever find yourself in D.C.,
here's your travel guide, Brittany Page.
Feel free to go get yourself a sweet treat at Un Je Ne Sais Quoi, where they have beautiful and delicious treats.
Anyway, I didn't call the guy... a name that I won't say.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about me being accosted at the airport, where I did call the guy that name.
everyone should guess. Let's.
So, should I tell the story quick?
Well,
real quick.
No. Here's what we should do. We're going to tell the story next time, and on Patreon, if you are still here with us, tell us what name you think Jesse called the guy at the Toronto airport who called Katie Porter a hag. Okay, guess the name. One word.
Type it in the comments. Will they get banned by typing the comments?
Not on Patreon.
Oh, on Patreon.
Yeah.
So under this episode, if you're a Patreon supporter, this is a great idea.
Or email us.
Yeah. Or that's probably the email or Patreon.
Yeah, we'll take a survey.
We're going to survey. What word do you think I use?
Yes. To the man who called Katie Porter a hag.
Multiple times.
Aggressively.
Loudly across the bar.
In there.
Injecting himself in a misogynistic way into our, a private conversation I was having with someone.
And then we will reveal the answer on the next episode.
On the next episode. Are we engagement farming? Is that what this is called?
Totally. Let's do it. Right, let's fantastic. Lean into it.
Listen,
we need all the joy we can get.
Hey, I'm trying to end the show here.
Okay, end it. Get it done then. Just interrupt my interruption. We'll have an interruption off.
We love you guys. We appreciate you. We invite your participation in this conversation. 657-464-7609. As Brittany drops her phone on the table and makes a loud noise into the microphone. You can also email us. idoubtit@dollamore.com. You can also just send us a voice memo. Email us a voice memo from your smartphone to that email address. We would invite your participation in helping produce this show as well. You can go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast and help us build these episodes, produce this content. We love and appreciate you. We will see you next time. I can't wait to know what word people think I used. I've used it on the show before, and Brittany has told me no, and we've had to cut it out. So it's aggressive. We'll see you next time.
Quit giving hints.
For Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollamore. This has been I Doubt It.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.